You turn your Bibles, sir, to Matthew chapter number 8. Before we go any further, Dasha or Daisy? No, it's Daisy. That's a Y on the end. Is it Daisy? Is that right? Daisy, good to have you in the house of the Lord with us, sir. Amen. Very glad that you're here this morning. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 16. Oh, Jesus, there's a lot on my mind and my heart this morning. Seems like the more that I read, the more that God opens up different aspects of His Word. Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 16. Oh, remember Derek and Tara, they are with Tara's dad today. He's down visiting, and so pray for them. Pray for Tara's dad. I'd like him to see him come back, amen, and come into the house of the Lord and live for God.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out spirits with his word. Wow. He didn't grapple with them, didn't even lay hands on them, just with his word. I'll tell you, there's some power in the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And healed all. Everybody say all.
All.
I know we brought a lot of requests here today of a lot of sick folks, but we have the answer for all of them. Well, maybe you'll believe that by the time I'm done. I said we have the answer for all of them. Amen. It is not the will of God, because he proves it over and over again that everywhere he went, he healed all of their diseases. And if you and I are his ambassadors or his representation on this earth, it is the will of God that all of them be healed of every disease, of every sickness. But something has got to connect in our spirit with the Spirit of God to get to that place. Then the next scripture, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Compassion is the very essence of Jesus' mission. His purpose, compassion, was his entire purpose.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the wonderful name of Jesus. The scripture said that God is love. And I think that we need to really stop and consider that for just a moment. And it's not that God loves, or that he loved, past tense, but it is really something to consider that God is. He is love. Amen. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Say it again.
God is love. He is. That is his very character. That is his very nature. And yes, we see in the scripture, I told somebody this just the other day, and we can talk about his judgment, and we see a lot of that judgment in the Old Testament. But as I was talking to another preacher the other day, I said, you know, the amazing thing is there is coming judgment day, and we do have to understand the severity of that. But today is the day of salvation.
Today
is the day of grace and mercy. Now, tomorrow may not be.
Right.
Because tomorrow he may call you away.
Right.
Tomorrow may be your reckoning day. But today is a day of mercy and a day of grace. Today is a day of love and compassion for each and every one of our souls. Amen. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36. If you'll ride with me for a little while here this morning, I'd like to go somewhere on this idea of compassion. I read in verse 20, or in chapter 25, and I'll get there in just a moment, of some things that really rose to the surface in my mind and in my spirit that I want to point out to us. But let's lay a little bit more foundation here for a moment. Matthew 9 and verse number 36. It said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he," Jesus, "was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, they were weary, they were tired." Oh, do we have a lot of people in our world today that they're fainting right and left. They're tired. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. There are so many of them that are giving up on life. They're committing suicide at such an alarming rate. Why? Because they're faint. They're weary. They're tired of this life. They don't feel any hope.
Right.
But when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because he saw how weary they were. And not only that, he saw that they were scattered abroad. In other words, they were wandering about aimlessly. They had no direction for their life. They had no direction for their soul. We've got so many people today that are putting on a good show, but they really have no idea what they're doing. They really have no idea what purpose they have in this life. Many of them lay down at night and they wonder, what is my real purpose of even being here? But I thank God today that being part of the church, we know what our purpose is. Some of us may automatically think our purpose is to make heaven our home. No, that's not it. That's part of it, but that's not really it. Our purpose is to be like Jesus and have compassion on those just like Jesus did, and see them with purpose, and see them filled with a touch of God's Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Thank you, Lord, for touching my body. Amen. As a sheep having no shepherd. He knew the importance of a shepherd in their life. He knew the importance of having somebody to lead and to guide them beside still waters, to lead them into green pastures, to get them to a place that their soul would be restored. Jesus saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. It burdened me, it troubled me when somebody said yesterday to me, they were talking about the enjoyment of being with some other people, and I don't want to get too bogged down in it, but they said to me, "What's wrong with Pentecost?" And I'll tell you, one of the things that's wrong with Pentecost is we've lost our compassion. We've become so judgmental, so right in our own eyes. Amen. And just because somebody has the truth and knows exactly what the Scripture said, sometimes we, you and I, can become arrogant and lose our focus of compassion. Amen. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to live so ultra righteous that, and it's not that I'm not going to live righteous and holy and godly and separated in this present world. I'm going to do that. I'm not talking about letting down. I'm not talking about letting things that are godly, wholesome principles, letting them go away. But what I am talking about is setting some of that stuff aside and letting people really see what Jesus intended for them to see. And that is a true love and a compassion for all people. Even people that you disagree with. We just came through a nasty election situation where, I mean, every time you turn the radio on, you see anything, ads on billboards, everything was just constant gnashing and ripping apart and division this and division that and thumbing their nose at everybody else. And oh, God, have mercy. What a divided nation. What a divided nation. Well, you don't believe the way I believe, and you don't politically think the way I think, and blah, 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 blah. And oh, I just thought, oh God, how much this must grieve you. And whether I have this opinion or that opinion, I'm going to tell you there's no opinion that matters more than the love of Jesus Christ getting into somebody's world and changing their life forevermore. Amen. No matter what the political point of view may be, there's nothing that's more important than the salvation of each and every individual. God still said He is not willing that any should perish. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in such a society that they would just rather them go to hell. They'd rather them be lost. They'd rather them, well, they don't believe the way I did. They
right.
Come on. But oh, God, help us that that spirit doesn't get a hold of us in the church, but that we're reaching continually for every lost individual, for every undone person, for every sick individual, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually. It doesn't matter what it is, but some way, somehow, we are reaching out for their lost soul with compassion. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 14, in verse number 14, Jesus went forth and saw again the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. Why am I bringing this up again? It's because I want us to see that every time there was a great multitude, God saw them through eyes of compassion. And when He saw them through eyes of compassion, it was compassion that preceded the greatest miracles that Jesus did. Some of y'all didn't get that. It was compassion that preceded some of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever did. So could I present to you today the reason why we may not see the great miracles amongst us is because it is not preceded by great compassion.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Right. Amen. Oh, we want great miracles, do we not?
Yes,
we do. Oh, we want them. I've preached to us already. I know it's a theme. There's a thread there that's tying all of the messages that I've been preaching here and there. And there is a thread that goes through. But I'm going to tell you, I feel this so strongly here, even this morning. I believe that no matter how bad we want to see the miracles of God, they've got to be preceded by compassion. They've got to be. If they are not, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. And oh, how many times that I have prayed for the miracles to happen, but I wonder why are they not happening? And I can only tell you that from time to time, I feel that selfishness is still standing in the way of miracles.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word compassion means a deep awareness and sympathy of the suffering of others. It is always amazing to me to hear other people how they can be so nonchalant and inconsiderate of what other people may feel. Yeah. And then they go through it, and then all of a sudden they understand and have a little bit more compassion. But wouldn't it be nice just to have compassion and not have to go through the sufferings?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But oh, what is that saying that we say, live and learn?
Yeah.
Huh? Brother Sam, what was that you said to me this morning that we always got to do? Oh, trial and error. Yeah. How many of us often have to do the trial and error instead of just reading the instruction manual?
Right. True.
True.
Why open the instruction manual if you can just learn by trial and error? Because we're so smart, we're so arrogant, we're so above everything that we don't need to open up the instruction manual. We'll just try it first. And if it works, man, great. If it doesn't, well, oh well, we'll try again. And then if all else fails, then we'll open the instruction manual. Right? Isn't that the way we do it? Man, that's exactly the way we do it. And thinking about some of those type of things, I said something the other day. I don't know. Did Brother Joshua fix that faucet? He didn't get it either?
He didn't make it open.
Oh, rats. I wanted to ask about that. Had a faucet the other day. You know, faucets, they're not that hard. It's not a big deal to put a faucet in. It's easy. It's easy, but this one's all fancy. It's got battery-operated motion sensors and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, this is the first one I've ever done like this. So I'm putting it all together, and I'm thinking I know what I'm doing. I put it all together, and it don't work. And so I go back over everything, and I'm like, why doesn't this thing work? So then I get out the instruction manual. And I go through the instructions. Well, lo and behold, now don't get too fussy at me. Hold on a second. I did it right. I did it right. And I went back and I unplugged everything and I re-plugged it in just like the manual said, just in case I forgot something. I pulled all the batteries out. I put them all back in, made sure I did all that right. And I still couldn't figure it out. So I called my boss. And he came over. And he's much more brilliant than I am. He worked on it for a while. And I was like, yes, when he gave up. And so he said, no, I'm not throwing my steam under the bus either, because here's the deal. I called Brother Steve, and so I had him come over, and he worked on it for a little while. And that's, again, I'm not throwing him under the bus. It's just, when he couldn't get it, I thought, okay, this is good. This is a good thing. And so he says, well, we'll call the plumber over here and see if he can figure it out. So I was waiting to see when Brother Josh got over there if he could figure it out, because if he figured it out, I want to know where I went wrong.
Right?
And sometimes, and it's not that I didn't want to have him be able to fix it necessarily. All right, but it was pretty good to know that if it didn't work for me and didn't work for him, that means that probably the two smartest guys on the planet couldn't figure it out. The third smartest guy on the planet ain't going to figure it out either. I hope it's a bad valve. And they're very simple things. My point is oftentimes, here we have this instruction manual. We've got the Word of God, and it tells us and it gives us some instruction on some certain things in the Word of God. But how often we fail to take heed to them, we just do it our own way.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
Sure.
We just do it our own way. And so when I gave you the definition of the word of compassion, a deep awareness and sympathy of the sufferings of others. And sometimes we can even say that, well, I know exactly how you feel, but not always.
Right. Yeah.
Not always.
Right.
Somebody just said, text me that day and said, I'm just not as tough as you are. I can't handle this pain. And I thought, it has nothing to do with toughness. It has nothing to do with toughness. Even my nurse, she said, when I was there just the other day, she said to me some of the same exact things. She said, I had my back go out on me one time a couple years ago. She thought, oh my word, how do these people live with this kind of pain? This is horrible, blah, 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 blah. She said, I will never say something negative to somebody that has back pain. It's a totally different situation. Now, I understand some people, they're just complainers and they whine and cry about everything. And that's fine. But that's just who they are. Whatever. Okay? I get that. But a lot of people, they suffer in such a way that we're not really aware of. And can we have a compassion upon them? Amen. Can we be compassionate for them, not knowing really what they are going through? Everybody has a different pain tolerance too.
Right.
Some people can't handle certain things. And that's okay. That's what makes us all unique. Because if the world was all like me, what kind of a boring world would this world be?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if everybody was like me? It'd be horrible. It'd be absolutely horrible. But if everybody's just like you, guess what? It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Now, see, some of y'all thought it would be. No, really, that's what makes us all unique and individuals. But the deal is we need to have the compassion upon one another as Jesus did. The second meaning is humane quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. Let me tell you this morning, it takes courage to stand by someone in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
Right.
It takes courage. Amen. And because there's a lot of people that will judge that situation wrongly.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
But you stood by it. And even there's times where you say, well, why would you stand by somebody that's wrong? Well, sometimes it's okay if they're wrong. And it shows some integrity on your part if you go ahead and you stand by them, but you work with them. And you work them through the place that they're wrong. There's a whole lot more to building and helping somebody than just saying you're wrong and leaving them behind.
Right.
It takes a real man and a real woman to be able to see something that is wrong and still take them by the hand with courage and integrity and bring them up a little bit further. Bring them on through that difficult situation. Without bringing them down.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Takes compassion to stand with somebody while they're in distress.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Compassion takes seriously the reality of other people's lives, their situations, their emotional distresses, their external circumstances. I may not know all that there is to know. And that's the beauty about what Jesus did, is he didn't have to explain all of their situations, the how comes and the why fors and all of that. He didn't have to get, none of it even mattered. He just had compassion on all of them.
Right.
What kind of world would this world be if we were to really act and be like Jesus?
Right.
You see, the scripture said that we were made in the image of God. So the seed, listen to me, the seed of compassion is in every one of us.
Hallelujah.
But it must be watered. It must be nurtured.
Yep.
It must be allowed to grow. Because we are born in the image of Almighty God.
Right.
We have this ability to truly be compassionate. Mm-hmm. But we must water it. We must allow it to grow.
Right.
One of my favorite settings of scriptures. Oh, I shouldn't even say that. There's so many that are so fantastic. But when I was younger, I can remember preaching about this. One of my very first messages that I was ever allowed to preach at the age of 16. I remember preaching from this passage in Jude 1, verse 22. There's no other chapters besides one, but just because everybody goes to chapter and verse, whatever. You understand what I'm talking about? So, verse 22, it said that some having compassion, making a difference. And it talks about them being pulled out of the fire. In other words, they were on their last leg. They didn't really have any hope. But somebody with compassion reached across the flames of hell, if you will, and made a difference in their life, pulling them out of the fire, hating the very garment that is spotted by the flesh. They don't like the sin. They don't like what it's done. But they were so moved with compassion that they were willing to reach beyond what was comfortable.
Yeah.
What was safe.
Yeah.
You see, a lot of times we don't reach out to certain people because it's not safe for our image. Wow, God. I said, we don't reach out to a lot of people because it's not safe for our image. We don't want to be associated with this or with that. So we don't reach to certain people because of this image we have to uphold. Jesus help us. But some are going to make a difference in this world. And it's going to be because of compassion. They're going to see something there. And they're going to have compassion. But one of our greatest hindrances of compassion is busyness.
Right.
Yeah. It's busyness. Our agenda is one of our greatest and most highest hindrance. Our greatest hindrance is busyness. Being distracted. Being self-absorbed. I want to turn your attention, and this was, wow. I may not get much further than this. Matthew chapter number 25, and I want to begin reading in verse number 31. But I want to say this before we get there, or as you're turning there, if you can listen at the same time. This was a test of who was a sheep and who was a goat. This was the test that Jesus gave. Now I want you to understand in the placing of the test. We're in Matthew chapter number 25. In the next chapter, we start seeing Jesus being betrayed and him marching and going down the road to Golgotha. All right? So we're talking at the end. The end of Jesus' life. He gives us this test. I think that's something we need to think about. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? In the caption above my in my Bible, it says, Jesus tells about the final judgment. So people wonder about final judgment. Well, let me tell you how God's going to judge things. I'm going to give you the instruction manual. Alright? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And behold, him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep and the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left hand. Now this is amazing because God is sovereign. And God knows it all. He sees it all. Nothing is hidden from God. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hungered, and ye gave me meat. Everybody see that? I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. Jesus help us. I was sick and you visited me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Notice what it said there. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? They're asking these questions. Wait a second. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. There's great speculation. There is a lot of conversation, and even, I may even say, argument on who brethren is. And so, I don't want to go too in-depth in that right at this point, but some have said it was the Jews that was, it was identifying them as the brethren. Others want to say that it was all Christians. And still others want to say that it was suffering people everywhere. No matter what the debate is, and I'm going to come back to this scripture. We can go back into Luke chapter number 10, I believe it was, where the lawyer asked the Lord, "Who is my neighbor?" And really, this, my brethren, does equate to your neighbor. And at this point, it's not who, but it's what. We get away from who your brother is and who your neighbor is to the action. Jesus isn't so, he isn't so focused on who the individual is that you're having compassion on, but it's the fact that are you doing it?
Right.
Are you having compassion?
Right.
Do you have the capability of showing compassion? Amen. Got it? Okay. Amen. Good. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared. I like this. Some people stop right there. There is a place that's prepared of everlasting darkness. Place called hell. He said, cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want us to know today and hear it very clearly that it was never intended for humanity to go to hell.
Right.
Amen.
God's creation, humanity, was never created to go to hell.
Right.
Hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Right. Amen.
But because of sin, and because humanity has a choice, now humanity has gone to hell. All right? I want you to understand that. And then the scripture talks about that hell hath enlarged herself. Yeah, hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because there are many that are entering therein. But it was never designed for humanity. So the next time somebody wants to make fun about going to hell and skiing there too, and somebody wants to make up jokes about how easy it's going, I'm going to tell you, hell is no laughing matter.
Right.
Hell is no funny thing to talk about.
Right.
Hell is a real place, and it's not going to be enjoyable. You ain't going to do the drugs you wanted to do.
Right.
I had somebody that just said this to me here recently. They said one of the worst things about hell, and they were explaining this, it was a drug addict that has been clean now. They said it's going to be like you always having that desire for those drugs, but never being able to be satisfied. And a drug addict knows that desire when they are so desirous of wanting to have that fix of whatever drug that it is. They go crazy. They do things that are not normal, that are not natural.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're beside themselves. They're out of their mind. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Hell's going to be a whole lot worse than that.
Right.
A whole lot worse than that. And so he goes on to say, this is a place that it was prepared for. But in 42 he said, for I was an hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you never came to visit me. Then shall they also answer him, saying, just like the righteous.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Just like the righteous, they're going to say the same exact thing. Wait a second. When did we see you hungry and not feed you? How does this work? And the Lord, then they shall answer him and say, Lord, when saw thee in hunger and thirst, a stranger, and naked, sick, or prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The separation from the sheep and the goats. I find it amazing to think that they would ask the same exact question, which makes me take a step back and go, wait a second. The world, the ungodly, those that do not know him nor even profess to know him would not ask that question now, would they? So what I want to bring to surface is this really talking about the world at large? Or again, do we have a situation where we have wheat in the field, but there's tares that look like wheat, that grew up with the wheat, but are darnel? They're black on the inside. Is it really a situation, again, that Jesus at large, we may be looking from a distance at this and saying that it is only the final judgment of all of humanity. But is he really saying, no, this is more about those that are professing Christians at large? Those that say, and we know that he talks about this often, he said that there's going to be some that are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done miracles in thy name? And there will be those that do that. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know who you are. You did that on your own accord. You did that for your own gratification. You did that for your own ability, your own... You did that in a selfish manner. You didn't do that for me. Wow. So really, I know a lot of times, and I believe that we could probably preach it both ways. We could preach it at the world at large, but I think it's more fitting, really, to say the church world at large. Okay? And the sad thing is we've got a lot of professing Christians. Mm-hmm. Right. Can I use a different word? We got a lot of fakes and pretenders.
Yep. Right.
And the thing that's going to separate the pretenders from the true believer is compassion.
Right.
Amen. This is the deciding factor at the end of the day. Jesus said, what you do for the naked, what you do for the poor and the sick, what you do for all of those that can't help themselves.
Right.
You can hold the truth and you can hold all this stuff, but really, that's not what's going to be what really matters at the end of the day. It's going to be what's going to matter at the end of the day is, have you done it unto these as you've done it unto me?
Right.
Have you given them as you would have given to me?
Right.
Because all of us know today that if Jesus was to walk in here, oh, we'd care for him like nobody's business. We would wait on him hand and foot and do everything we could to make him happy and pleased. But if somebody of ill repute, if a harlot walked in here, if whatever, I don't know, somebody that you don't like, somebody that's just all full of tattoos and piercings and looks scary, maybe they've got all kinds of facial tattoos. Most of us would reject them and not even dare go up. We'd go over to our kids. Hey, stay away from them. Stay away from them. They might be dangerous. We don't know what's going on in their world. We don't know why they're here. We don't. Really? I would question. I'd begin to question the amount of Holy Ghost you really have.
Right.
Yeah.
Because all that means is they got a past.
Right.
That Jesus can forgive them. And Jesus can set them free.
Right.
And Jesus can make them an absolutely different individual than they've ever been before.
Right.
That's all that is. All those markings, all those piercings, all that. And you know what? I wish we had a whole lot more, and we're going to get a whole lot more.
Right.
I wish we had a whole lot more than what we do right now. But it's going to be compassion that makes the difference.
Right.
Amen.
That's
right. I'm sorry, I got so much more to preach, but I'm running out of steam.
Good. Good.
Missing from their spiritual character was this thing called empathy. Compassion to others. I don't want it to be said of me that I was not a compassionate person.
Glory.
Amen.
Self-centered living,
yes,
will be, in my opinion, one of the greatest reasons for eternal rejection. Self-centeredness. Selfishness. Not being able to really have compassion. When I was in Le Grand here recently, I even made this statement, and just been driving me crazy. Everywhere I go, when I see, I'm praying, I'm asking God continually, let me see every single person that does not know you. Let me see them as a sheep that has no shepherd. Let me see their weariness, no matter how tough they act.
Yes.
There's so many people. I'm going to tell you, you know, one of the other things that we're going to have to, more and more, unless Jesus comes, we're going to have to deal with the whole ideology that's being stuffed down our throat of this transgender. But I'm going to tell you, the reason why somebody goes through a sex change, you know why? Because they're looking for happiness.
Right.
They're looking for something to fill that spot that still can't fill it. And eventually, somewhere down the way, they're gonna reach out and they're gonna try. Well, maybe this is it. Many of them reject churches and reject the whole ideology of God because of the way they've been treated.
Right.
Right.
I said, if that's the way God is, I don't want nothing to do with them.
Right. Right.
Amen.
If that's the way they're gonna treat, no, I don't want nothing to do with them. And so we're gonna have to deal with that. But the fact that they would even walk into this building means that something is still on the inside of that ticker that's saying, I still got a hole in my heart. I still got an emptiness. I'm still so confused. I have no direction in life.
Amen.
And who's it up to? Who's it up to? It's up to us. It's up to you and I to have compassion and make a difference in their world. Make a difference in their life. See all of this craziness going on. I'm going to challenge some of us to really ask the Lord. Really ask Him. You know, the little cliche, what would Jesus do? All fine and dandy. The reality is if you really did want to do what Jesus would do, if you really wanted to, it's a tall order to stand up to, and I know it is. But when I read this in chapter 25, and that's what he said, this is the last parable that he talks about, or what he gives before he's turned over to the religious leaders. This is the last thing that he really says. I think that takes some weight. It was one of the last things before they got separated from Jesus. Don't forget. You better have compassion.
Yep.
Because compassion was what made the difference in everything that Jesus did. And I believe that it will be the thing that makes the difference in everything that Souls Harbor does in Sparks, Nevada. In Northern Nevada.
Right.
And everywhere that we go.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. I'd like to finish, but I can't. I'm sorry. Can we stand to our feet this morning? The reason why most of us, if not all of us, are here today is because somebody had compassion. I'm so thankful that after my first mistake, they didn't throw me away.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that after my second and third and 20th and 50th mistake, they still didn't throw me away. They still let me come to church. They still let me come and be in the presence of God. Somebody still had compassion on me. Somebody still prayed for me.
Yep.
Somebody still loved me. And even when I had done some really stupid things, there were still a few people that believed in me.
Amen.
There were some that lost confidence, that lost hope in me, said, He'll never amount to much. Went to Sister Vicky while I was there in LeGrand this last time, and I said, I see that your husband left before I finished preaching. She said, yes, please pray for him. I said, oh, I will. And I said, let me tell you something, Sister Vicky. I said, your husband made a lasting impression on this boy. I said, you remember the story of me and Bobby getting in a fight on the bus? She goes, oh yeah. And I said, you know what your husband said to me? We got in that fight. And he told me, he said, I thought more of you than that. I know I didn't go through the whole entire story, but that hit me so hard. To think that this older man thought more of me than fighting and acting like this on a bus. And it forever changed me. Not entirely, but it was a monumental milestone that I've never, ever, ever forgotten. And let me tell you, I thank God that even that day, and I remember that, and I want to say, well, Brother Johnny, I did a lot of dumb things, did a lot of stupid things, made a lot of mistakes, but thank you for believing in me. Thank you for not throwing me to the wolves and giving up on me. Thank you for still praying for me. Even though I messed up, even though I made some poor decisions, can I say it all boils down to still having compassion on me?
Right.
Not only do we need to have compassion on one another, we need to have compassion on those that need Jesus. And I want us to pray that prayer today. I want each and every one of us to pray, God, give me the compassion. Show me the compassion. Until I can walk through the mall and I can see. Sister Delta isn't here this morning, but I remember her boys going through a stage, and I remember seeing them on the street dressed in leather and studded stuff and crazy and mohawk, standing up a foot tall. But both of her boys today are back in church living for God, doing what's right. Yeah, I was looking foolish. But oh, thank God. You know, it's something else, because they'll never forget some of the things that was preached from this pulpit as them being young teenagers and young children. And I loved them and I cared about them. I treated them no differently on the street. I always reached out to them in every situation. I loved them. Now they're back at church today, of course not here, but in other places across the country. I want to tell you today that your compassion will make a difference. If you want a miracle in your child's life, show some compassion on somebody else's child. Show some mercy on somebody else's spouse. Help us. God, help us, Jesus. Let me see. Let me see the multitudes, God. Would you pray with me right now? See the multitude, God. And be moved with compassion. There's hurting people even here today. And while we have our plastered smiles, I want to make everything sound and make believe that everything's okay. It's all right to not be okay. I said it's all right to not be okay. It's all right to be weak. It's all right to have difficulties and problems. It's all right. If we just have compassion on one another, we can make a difference in each other's lives, the lives around us. Dear Jesus, help us, God. Let's pray. Let's pray together. I want you to get somebody on your mind and on your heart right now and start to pray for them. Come on, who can you make a difference in their life? Who? Come on, call their name out before the Lord right now. There's so many people. Who's that person that the Lord has been dealing with you to go visit, but you've been so busy, you've been so distracted that let's just be blunt, let's just be honest. You've been so selfish that you haven't went and visited them like you know you should have. That person that you over and over and over have come to your mind and you prayed for them, but they don't even know that you're praying for them. Why don't you pick up the phone? Why don't you text them? Why don't you call them? Why don't you go visit them? Why don't you do something more and step out of the busyness of your life and really do something that'll make a difference and show some compassion to them? Take some time out. Take some time out. Jesus took some time out for you. Somebody else took some time out for you. Maybe it was somebody even in this building that took some time so that you might be saved. Jesus, help us.